Like we learned last week, we're going to try to share some ideas from the Stachina Rebbe on Purim. Now, there's a special nature to Purim Torah. Purim Torah is a beautiful combination of, you know, Torah, normal types of Divrei Torah, but also a little bit, you know, a little bit happy, a little bit the Torah of being drunk. So it's a little bit elevated, this Torah. So there's a Gemara that seems to have Purim Torah. A Gemara in Megillah Dav Zayin Amud Beis. Gemara says, "Hai v'nishlu v'sumei b'puraya." A person's obligated to be drunk on Purim. Ad lo yada b'arur Haman levaruch Mordechai, till he doesn't know the difference between cursed is Haman and blessed is Mordechai. Then the Gemara says that Rabbah and Reb Zeira once decided to have a Purim meal together. They got drunk. So come Rabbah shachti l'Reb Zeira. So Rabbah got up and he slaughtered Reb Zeira, killed him. Then when he realized that he had killed Reb Zeira, he said a name of God and he brought Reb Zeira back to life. The next year, he invited Reb Zeira back for another Purim party. Reb Zeira said, "You know, we don't have miracles all the time. I'm not coming." That's the Gemara and Maseches Megillah. So, what's pshat? What's pshat that Rabbah would kill Reb Zeira in a Purim party? So this is the topic that the Stachina Rebbe is discussing. Why would Rabbah kill Reb Zeira? This is what Purim is, to get so drunk. So there's a very interesting Gemara in Maseches Kiddushin. Gemara says at the very end of Maseches Kiddushin, it talks about different industries, different businesses. The Mishnah says don't choose an industry which will lead to immodesty or questions. Every father is to teach his child a trade, but choose a good trade, a trade that doesn't, not too demanding on the person, and also clean and ethical and honest. So the Mishnah, the Gemara says there in Kiddushin, Pei Beis Amud Aleph, Tov Shebit Tabachim Shutafo Shel Amalek. The best of the butchers is the partner of Amalek. Wow. What's so terrible about a butcher? He's a partner with Amalek. So Rashi says, because a butcher, he's slaughtering lots of cows, he's cutting them up. So when he cuts them up, he finds all sorts of cows that maybe are treif. You know, maybe this is a hole, maybe this is a problem. It's very hard. He's going to throw it out. If he throws it out, he's going to lose a lot of money. As it is, he doesn't make much money. So what the butcher normally does is he's too hesitant to lose money. And therefore, he gives these cows, and he sells them as kosher food. Meanwhile, it may not be kosher. So he's a partner with Amalek. He's a partner with Amalek. The best of the butchers who's selling stuff that's got questionable hechshers because he wants to keep making money is a partner with Amalek. That's what the Gemara says. So the Rebbe said, still, you know, what does that have to do with Amalek? All right, he's not righteous. He's causing people to sin. But why is that Amalek? Did Amalek come and give Jews things that were possibly treif? Amalek attacked the Jewish people in the desert. What does this have to do with Amalek? So pshat's like this. The Gemara doesn't say he is Amalek. The Gemara says, Tov Shebit Tabachim, the best of the butchers, Shutafo Shel Amalek. He's the partner of Amalek. The meaning is, Amalek always needs a partner. Amalek doesn't do things on his own. He does things with a partner. And a butcher, he could be the partner of Amalek. So why does Amalek always need a partner? Amalek is so tummy, so the opposite of what the Jewish people are all about. He could never even come close to the Jewish people. We're the opposite of Amalek. He's so impure, so horrible. Amalek has no values. Might makes right. Attacks the weak because he can. Doesn't believe in God. Doesn't, complete denial of anything. It's just horrible. He on his own couldn't connect to the Jewish people. Couldn't even harm us because he's so different. So he comes with a partner. He has his partner working with him. You don't realize it's Amalek. You think, oh, you know, maybe this guy could come into the Jewish people. And before you know it, you have Amalek inside, causing all the problems. To explain this further, Amalek represents the denial of God. We all know Amalek in Gematria Safek. And Rashi says God's name is incomplete whenever you have Amalek instead of the full name, Yud-Heh Vav-Heh, just Yud-Heh, which is the heavenly realm. You don't see the heavenly realm on earth because of Amalek. Amalek denies God. He pushes away belief in God. The core of the Jewish people is that we believe in God. The Jewish people are ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. We are believers, the children of believers. A Jew believes in God. You know, I mentioned it this morning. Amazing. Last week, the justice minister of Israel, who's a woman who doesn't seem to keep Shabbos yet, she went to Austria for intergovernmental meeting, and she took time out of her visit to go travel to Bratislava in Slovakia to go say Tehillim at the grave of the Chassam Sofer. Ayelet Shaked went to the grave of the Chassam Sofer to put a stone on the grave and to say Tehillim and Daven at the grave of the Chassam Sofer. It's amazing, right? Chassam Sofer was the person who was the inspiration of Satmar. Satmar is all based on the approach of the Chassam Sofer, because the Chassam Sofer is the one who said, Chadash Asr Min HaTorah, any innovation is prohibited from the Torah, nothing new. We're just doing what our fathers did. The whole approach of Satmar is because they learned from the Chassam Sofer. She went to put a stone at the grave of the Chassam Sofer to say Tehillim, to honor the Chassam Sofer, because the Chassam Sofer was, you know, Gadol B'Yisrael, and he had a love of Eretz Yisrael. She went to give him kavod, to give him honor. Because Jews deep down, they're ma'aminim v'nei ma'aminim. They believe. They all believe deep down. They all believe in Hashem. They believe in the Rabbanim. They believe in Torah. We believe. So Amalek comes. He has no belief in anything. He's not going to be able to touch us. We have no connection to him. So what does Amalek do? He finds a partner. He finds some other Aveira. Not the Aveira of lack of belief. And he gets his way in through that other Aveira. It could be treif. He says, okay, eat some treif. You believe in God, eat some treif. Maybe it's not treif. Maybe it's treif. You can eat it, you know, don't be so machmir. It's what's in your heart that counts. So a Jew eats food that may be not so kosher. When we eat food that's not kosher, the Gemara says in Chulin, the heart becomes dull. So once the heart is dull, the Jew doesn't hear that inside he believes. And then already Amalek can walk in. And then he can push us and push us and push us. That's why the butcher who sells food that might be treif, he's the partner with Amalek. Because Amalek's going to try to get us to not believe in God at all. But if somebody came to me and said, don't believe in God, I'd reject him, throw him out. So what does Amalek do? He has his partner. Gets me to eat something which isn't 100% kosher. Then my heart is dulled. Once my heart is dulled, then Nebuch, I don't hear my faith. Then already Amalek comes in. So the butcher who sells the maybe treif, he's the partner with Amalek because he's contributing to the dulling of the heart. If you look throughout Jewish history, Amalek always came with a partner. Let's say the first time, but Parshas B'Shalach. Vayavo Amalek. Amalek came. So you say he came alone. And listen to the end of the pasuk. Vayachalosh Yoshua, and Yoshua weakened. Es Amalek, the Es Amo. Amalek and his nation. What do you mean? There's no king called Amalek. Amalek is the nation. What do you mean Amalek and his nation? Because Amalek came with a partner. He didn't come alone. He brought a partner. He brought somebody else in. Amo, his nation. That was his partner. And Yoshua beat them. You have later, Vayered ha'amaleki v'aknani. The Amaleki came down with the Knani. In Gidon, you have Amalek fighting together with Midian. In the days of Mordechai and Esther, you have Haman with Ahasuerus, who's a Persian. Because Amalek doesn't come alone. Amalek needs a partner. He always comes with his partner. That's the big challenge. You know, we all have challenges. We think, okay, you know, we believe in God. We have to realize that Amalek has a partner, and he's coming at us with his partner. And once he came in with the partner, then he's going to come to push us away from belief in God also.
So maybe the defeat of Amalek, to fight back Amalek, is for the butcher to do the teshuva, so that he beats the Amalek at his game and leaves him single-handed, so he won't have a partner.
Very nice, for sure, that's for sure. Haman took Ahasuerus to be his partner. And what does he do? Haman invites the Jews to Ahasuerus' party. Gemara says in Megillah, what caused the whole problem in Purim? Why were we deserving of death? Because we ate from the party of Ahasuerus. What else does the Gemara say in Megillah about the party of Ahasuerus? The Megillah says that at the party, Ahasuerus made a rule, asos kirtzon ish v'ish, to follow everybody's orders. The orders of which men? Says the Gemara, there were two people in the Megillas Esther called Ish. There's Mordechai, Ish Yehudi. And there's Haman, Ish Tzar V'Oyev. So it's Ahasuerus' party. And everybody can go. The Jews go, because they're invited. And they say, well, it's all kosher. It's under Mordechai. But it's also under Haman, too. It's the butcher. Haman's the butcher. The partner of Amalek. It all starts with Jews eating food in a place where they shouldn't be eating. Oh, but it's kosher. Yeah, but you shouldn't be eating there. It's Ahasuerus' party. It's going to damage the heart. And the heart gets damaged, and then Amalek comes in. That's what Haman was trying to do. Mordechai, he was against going to the party. He said, don't go. And Mordechai said, he wasn't going to the party. The same way he wasn't going to the party, he never gave in to Haman. He never bowed. If you don't let the partner in, then you can defeat the Amalek too. You just have to make sure not to let the partner in. So what happens in Purim? In Purim, we read the Megillah, and we get drunk. We give presents. When we read the Megillah, we believe that God is in charge. We see that God's running everything. We reject Amalek. We take Haman's name, we erase it, and when we drink, we're defeating the butcher. We're defeating the party of Ahasuerus, the partner of Amalek that got us into trouble in the first place. We have to celebrate by drinking. So that's why Rabba and Reb Zera made a party together. Because they knew that the same way the problem was Ahasuerus and Haman together, it was Amalek with his partner, the fixing had to be with two of them together. And they got drunk. So Rabba got up and he shechted Reb Zera. He shechted Reb Zera because the whole problem of Amalek is a butcher. So if you want to defeat the evil butcher, you have to be a holy butcher. So he became a holy butcher who killed Reb Zera in the middle of the Purim party. And his idea of killing Reb Zera was that I'm trying to get rid of the butcher who gets us into the whole heresy of Amalek. That's why we also find Mordechai has another name. Mordechai's name is Petachia, the one who opens up the gates of God. Because what happens when we eat food that's not 100% kosher? Our hearts become dulled. Mordechai said, don't go to the party. Mordechai is the one who opens up the hearts. They should still be filled with straight faith in God. So Amalek is such a horrible evil, right? So evil. He's so evil, the only way he can come against the Jews if he has a partner with him. So Haman takes Ahasuerus along. So that means that the Jewish holiness is so great. It needs a partner. It's so great, the Jewish holiness, because it's so much faith, the opposite of Amalek. It needs a partner, because if we didn't have a partner with us, then the rest of the world couldn't even relate to us. They couldn't connect to us at all. The holiness of the Jewish people needs a partner to translate us to the rest of the world. So the partner of the Jewish people is the Gerim, the converts. The converts come from outside. They don't have Jewish parents. But they have Jewish souls. They join the Jewish people so that they can translate the holiness of Am Yisrael to the rest of the world. So that everyone can connect a little bit with the holiness of Am Yisrael. That's the great power of the converts. They're the partners to bring the holiness of the Jewish people. So who's the great Ger? Yisrael. Vayishma Yisrael. Yisrael heard and he joins the Jewish people. Mashmu Hashama Uba. What did Yisrael hear that caused him to join the Jewish people? What did he hear? Shama Molchamas Amalek. He heard about the war with Amalek. He heard about a war with Amalek. Vayachalosh Yoshua es Amalek ves Amo. Amalek always comes with a partner to get himself into the door, to then try to get us not to exist, not to have faith. So that's why when Yisro heard, he said, okay, the Jewish people, the opposite of Amalek, they also need a partner. I have to come and be a convert. I have to join the Jewish people. That's what the Pasuk says. That when the Jews killed the 75,000 Amalekis in the end of the Megillah, the Rabin, the Amei Haaretz, Messiah Hadim, a lot of the non-Jews became converts. They joined the Jewish people. Because this, when you wipe out Amalek, you discover the greatness of the Jewish neshama. It's so great. It's so holy. It needs a partner with it in order to bring it to the rest of the world. That's one Torah. It's a Purim Torah. It's a Purim Torah. Special Torah, Purim Torah. You know, it's Torah for being drunk. It's like only when a person's drunk can he justify Rabba killing Reb Zeira. It's part of wiping out the partner of Amalek. All right, another Torah, another Purim Torah. When it comes to Purim, we find a very unusual thing, that our sages treat a walled city differently. Everybody celebrates Purim on the 14th. But the cities that have a wall from the days of Yeshua ben Nun, the holy cities, they should celebrate Purim on the 15th. Now, holy cities, cities with a wall, have special halachos. The metzorah is thrown out of these cities. They have special halachos. But they don't have any mitzvah, but you don't blow shofar differently in a walled city than in a non-walled city. You don't light Hanukkah candles differently in a walled city. But Purim in a walled city is different than Purim in a non-walled city. The walled city gets Purim on the 15th. The non-walled cities only have Purim on the 14th. So why? There's a very strange thing about Megillas Esther. They're always angry. Everybody's all angry. They're all worked up. They're so crazy, so angry. The king has a party. He's drinking wine for 187 days straight. And one thing goes wrong. Vashti doesn't come out when he wants her to come out. The king is extremely angry. Vachamaso, and his rage, Barabo, is burning in him. And then, you know, Memucha and Haman says, no, not only are you angry, but everybody's going to hear, all the women are going to stop listening to their husbands. Ukedai bizayon vakatzef. All of them are going to be humiliated. Vakatzef, they're going to be foaming. They're going to be enraged. All the husbands are going to be angry. And then when Esther comes and she marries Achashverosh, Katzaf Bigson vaseresh. Bigson and Seresh get all angry. So angry they're going to go kill Achashverosh. Haman doesn't have Mordechai bow to him. The whole world's bowing to him. But Mordechai not. Vayimali Haman chema. Haman is at the party with Achashverosh and Esther, and Esther says, I'm asking for my life because we're about to be killed. That's all I want. The king gets up in his rage out of the party. Everybody's so angry, all worked up. That's so strange because the beginning of the Megillah presents the Persians as being so tolerant, so generous, right? Achashverosh makes a party. Everybody's welcome. Kirtzon ish v'ish. Whatever you want, I'll do it. Mordechai wants kosher. You have kosher. Haman wants everything. Right there. He's such a tolerant king. He makes a party for the kingdom for 187 days. Right? No one has to work. Everyone can drink. Everyone can eat. He has a new wife, Esther. Manachalam dino sasa. He drops the taxes. It's amazing. There's no war. Everybody's being fed. Everyone's welcome to the king's palace. And yet everybody's so angry. What's going on? Here you have it. Such a tolerant, beautiful, you know, welcoming place. And everyone's getting angry. So pshat's like this. This is the pshat. Why is there anger? Because Hashem was angry. When Hashem is angry, there's anger in the world. It's reverberating in the spiritual world. And so people get angry. They don't know why they're getting angry. They've got money, the taxes are low. But they're all angry because Hashem is angry. You know why Hashem is angry? Hashem is angry when there's Avodah Zarah. Because Avodah Zarah is the biggest insult to Hashem. Here there's one God. And some people are worshipping an idol, a stone, a piece of wood, a human being. It's the biggest insult. It's the biggest insult. There's one God, there's the Creator, He's in charge. And now these little pieces of wood are being worshipped. It gets Hashem so angry. The Gemara says, the Medrash says in Parashat Re'eh, Kol zman sheyesh avodah zarah ba'olam, yesh charon af ba'olam. As long as there's avodah zarah in the world, there's tremendous anger in the world. Hashem is so angry. This insult. And here there was avodah zarah. Everybody's bowing to Haman. Haman's the avodah zarah. Makes Hashem so angry. And so all sorts of people are getting angry. Bigson and Seresh are angry, and Achashverosh is angry, and Haman is angry. And they're all angry. So what happens in Megillas Esther? Haman gets hung. When Haman was hung, it's bittul avodah zarah. It's the negation of avodah zarah. So once Haman is hung, v'chamas hamelach shachacha, the king's no longer angry. Achashverosh is no longer angry. We don't find any other anger in the rest of the Megillah. After Achashverosh, after Haman is hung, there's no longer any anger. So because Haman was hung and the Avodah Zarah was weakened in the whole country, right after Megillas Esther, we have the men of the Great Assembly, and the Gemara says in Yuma, they were the ones who annulled the urge for Avodah Zarah. Ever since then, there's no real Avodah Zarah. Yeah, people do things, but they don't believe it. The urge and desire for Avodah Zarah stopped at the beginning of the Second Temple. You know why? Because Haman was hung, and Haman was an Avodah Zarah. So when that Avodah Zarah was stopped, and Hashem was no longer angry, it opened the door to stop all the Avodah Zarahs. And the men of the Great Assembly, who Mordechai was part of them, stopped all the Avodah Zarah in the world. Now when you talk about idol worship, a city of idol worship is different than an individual who worships idols. When an individual worships idols, terrible thing if a Jew worships idols, he deserves to be stoned to death. But his property is spared. If a whole city worships idols, and the city is called an Ir Anidachas, the wayward city, the terrible city, the city that has to be destroyed, all the people are killed by sword, all the produce is taken, all the possessions are taken to the center of the city, to the Rechov. It's all burnt. It's all prohibited. You can't get any benefit from it. It's all destroyed. It's much worse when a city worships idols. So we know that the world is always built on balance. Whatever there is on the side of evil, there is on the side of holiness. So if you have a city of worshiping idols, there's also the opposite, a city of holiness. What's the opposite of worshiping idols? Faith. Faith in Hashem. So there's a city that's the city of faith. The ultimate city of faith is Yerushalayim. It's the opposite of the Ir Anidachas. And we've been learning now that what is Purim? Purim is getting rid of Avodah Zarah, hanging Haman, getting rid of Avodah Zarah, getting rid of the anger. So of course Purim has to be a day where the city surrounded by a wall, Yerushalayim, has to have a special holiness. Because the same way when we got rid of the individual who worships idols, on Purim, the Ir Nidachas, the city that worships idols, was stopped. So there has to be a corresponding increase in holiness to the city of holiness, to Yerushalayim. Now, every walled city is really an extension of Yerushalayim. It has special holiness. A Metzora can't be there. He is sent out because it's a holy place. The Tamei person can't be in such a camp. It's Machane Yisrael. It's a holy city. The holy city of Yerushalayim, the city of faith, is the opposite of the Ir Nidachas, the city of idolatry. There's a very interesting law about the city of idolatry. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the Pasuk says, Veskol shlalot tikbotza l'chova, gather all of her possessions to the city square, the city street, and burn them, destroy them. So the Gemara says, if the city doesn't have a square, doesn't have a street, doesn't have a main part, then it can't become an Ir Nidachas. It can't be a city that's destroyed. So apparently, for it to be an idolatrous city, it has to have like a main drag, a main commercial district, a main street. And that's where it all started from. From there, all the bad ideas came, and then it spread, and they all decided to worship idols. So the center of the city of idolatry is the source of the city of idolatry, the rechov, the street. The opposite of the city of idolatry is Yerushalayim Er HaKodesh. There's a great power to the streets of Yerushalayim. The Navi Yirmiyahu said, Shotetu b'chutzos Yerushalayim. Go seek out all around Yerushalayim. Uru'u na udu'u. And see, please, now and know. U'bikshu b'rechov oseha. And seek out in her streets. In Timtzu Ish will you find a man. In Yesh Osei Mishpat will you find someone who does justice. Umavake Shemuna, who seeks faith. Yirmiyahu is decrying that Yerushalayim is not the way it should be. The way Yerushalayim should be, apparently, is streets where they have Mevakshei Emuna, people who seek faith. Because the streets of the idolatrous city lead us to worship idols, to reject faith. The street of the holy city leads us to be Mevakshei Emuna. There's an amazing idea of the Gra. The Gra asks the following question. An individual who worships idols gets punished if he does it deliberately, he's stoned to death. That's the worst death, stoning. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The worst death is stoning. A city that worships idols, every individual gets killed by sword. But 1 second, what's worse? A whole group worshiping idols or an individual? A whole group is worse. That's why the whole city, the possessions are destroyed too. An individual, he dies, but his possessions are permitted. So why should the city, which is worse than the individual, have a lesser death? They're only killed by sword. They're not killed by stoning. So the Gra says something very powerful. The Gemara says in the Sechet Sanhedrin that non-Jews have mitzvos. They have the seven mitzvos. What happens if they don't listen to the seven mitzvos? They only have one punishment, the punishment of death by sword. If a city worships idols, God says, now you're going to be treated like non-Jews. So you're going to die by the sword. It's so terrible to have a whole city worshiping idols. They get a much worse punishment. Maybe physically, the punishment of being stoned is worse than being killed by stone, by sword. But for Jews to be killed by sword because they've lost their kedusha, because they worshiped idols, that's a terrible, terrible punishment. So it comes out that according to the Gra, when you have the whole city worshiping idols, the members of the city lose their sanctity and they lose their status as Jews. They get treated like non-Jews. That means that the opposite, the city of Yerushalayim, the city surrounded with a wall, the city of faith, not only is it a place of holiness, but it makes the Jew who's in it into a whole new type of a Jew. It makes him into a new level of a Jew, a higher level of Jew. So he becomes a new level of a Jew, a whole new level of a Jew. So maybe that's another pshat. why Rabba wanted to kill Reb Zeira when he was drunk on Purim. Because he knew that on Purim you have to become a whole new level of a Jew. So he had to kill the old level of Reb Zeira and bring him back to life to have a whole new level of a Jew. Because that's what's happening on Purim. On Purim, it's the opposite of an Ir Nidachas. We've gotten rid of the idolatry. We've embraced faith in Hashem. And when we've embraced faith in Hashem, we become elevated to become a whole new level of a Jew, a whole new person. And as a whole new person, that's why we're deserving. And that's why we celebrate in the city that's surrounded with the wall, has a special status. So another thought from the Rebbe about Purim. We know that one of the things that we're supposed to do on Purim is to give each other's gifts. U'mishloach manos ish l're'ehu, and sending gifts a man to his friend. That phrase, u'mishloach manos ish l're'ehu, equals in gematria, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Because that's the mishloach manos that Hashem gives us. The gift that Hashem gave us is the ability to scream, Shema Yisrael, listen Jews, Hashem Elokeinu, God is our Lord. Hashem Echad, God is one. We believe in Hashem. That's the gift Hashem gave us. What an amazing gift to be a believer. There's no better gift in the world. Where do we see that the best gift is to be given the gift of faith? It's the Pasuk in Parshas Vayera. Hashem says, Pasuk says, Ve'ha'emin ba'Hashem. And Avram believed in Hashem. Vayachshevel lo tzedakah. And Avram considered this ability to believe in Hashem to be a gift of charity from Hashem. It was a tzedakah from Hashem that he gave him the ability to believe in Hashem. That's the greatest gift, the greatest gift. That's why u'mishloach manos ish l're'ehu equals Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's Hashem's mishloach manos to us, to believe in him, to have faith. Manos in gematria is 2 times 248. Because there are 248 words in Kriya Shema. And we read Shema twice a day. B'shach b'cha v'kumecha. That's the gift. That's the manos. Those are the two gifts. Shema in the morning and Shema at night. U'mishloach manos in gematria is Malchus Shemayim, God's kingdom. Kriya Shema is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. Avram Avinu gave gifts. Parshas Chaye Sarah, Avram Avinu marries a Pilegesh, a concubine, Keturah. He has 6 sons, and he gives her gifts, gives them gifts. Says Rashi, what's the gift that Avram gave to the Bnei Keturah? Shem Tuma Masalahem. He gave them a name that was impure, a spirituality, a holiness that's impure. And he sends them away to the east, and they become the Eastern nations, the Buddhists, the Shintos, all those different religions. That's all from Avram Avinu's gift of a Shem Tuma, of a name of impurity. What a gift. Avram Avinu is going to give a name of impurity. But the pshat's like this. Avram Avinu is the big believer in Hashem. He wanted these children of the concubine to believe in something. They should be believers. All right, they won't be believers in Hashem, but at least believers in something. Not to be people who deny any belief in anything spiritual, people like the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, or like Amalek, that it's all about strength and power. Let them believe in something. Something above them. Eventually they'll get to the real belief, the belief in Hashem. Why did Avram do this? Because there's Amalek. Amalek doesn't believe in anything. He's a complete apikoros. So to get rid of Amalek, or to keep his concubine children from being Amalekites, he gave them some impurity, a name of impurity, a religion of impurity. Chazal tell us, God swore that his name is not complete and his throne is not complete as long as Amalek is in this world. What does this mean? If God's name would be complete, then there'd be no way for false religion. You couldn't have Shintoism if everyone knew about God. There's no room for it.
know about Hashem, they serve Hashem. But there's an Amalek in this world. And since there's an Amalek in this world who's denying everything, is all materialism, is all strength, so God gave a name of impurity to the children of the Pilagshim. So God said, I have to reduce my name in order that these people should believe in something. So here's an amazing thing. The word Pilagshim, concubines, is the letters Pelagshim, half the name. Because there was only half the name, not the full name, that's why God allows for the impure religions in the world in order to keep those people who are following the impure religions from falling into Amalek, who would unfortunately lead to a complete denial of everything. But once Amalek is gone, and we're not worried about anybody falling into the hands of Amalek, then there doesn't have to be any impure religion. Then there'll be just one religion, just the belief in God. Yeah?
Wouldn't God be angry that there are these impure religions, though?
Oh, apparently not. Apparently it's he allows this to keep them from Amalek, because Amalek is even worse. And apparently it's a little bit less than Avodah Zarah. It's an impure spirituality. It's less, apparently. And we know that the word ish, man, has yud in it. Isha has woman, has a hey in it. So yud and hey of ish, the isha. And the vav hey in the word ksuba is how you have the name of Hashem. A concubine is a wife who doesn't have a ksuba. So the concubine of Avram Avinu didn't have a vav hey. So it was just ish v'isha, it was just yud hey. It was only half the name. Because it was only half the name, that's why the name wasn't complete. Hashem's name wasn't complete. Because Hashem's name wasn't complete, there was Amalek in this world. When there's Amalek in this world, Hashem also, Avram gave a shem tumah, a name of impurity, to keep his children from falling into Amalek, complete denial. Who's the mother of Amalek? Timnah. Timnah was the concubine of Eliphaz. She wasn't the wife of Eliphaz, she was the concubine of Eliphaz, and she gave birth to Amalek. Because when you have Amalek, it's all about a concubine. It's about half the name, not the full name of God, in order to enable the Shem Tumah to exist. So what an amazing thing. On Purim, we learn that Hashem says, you know what, I'll make my name half. I'll allow there to be an impure religion just to keep people away from falling into Amalek. So on Purim, you know what Hashem's giving us? He's not giving us half a name. On Purim, he's giving us Emunah. He's giving us the gift of believing in him. He's certainly helping us to avoid Amalek because we're not the children of the concubine. We're the children of the main wife. On Purim, it's a time of tremendous joy. The joy of the gift of Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'ehu. Hashem giving us the gift of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. These are some Purim Torahs to get us in the mood.